This podcast on Sports360AZ.com is brought to you by your Valley Hyundai dealers. We appreciate the Valley Hyundai dealers and their support.
Now, the Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network studios.
Thanks for being with us. Tuesday means Peter King will be with us. He will Skype in from New York City. I talked to Peter. There's some of you out there, shouldn't blame you guys, but some people think that Steve Keim deserves criticism for this team going to miss the playoffs. For those of you holding out hope, yeah, they could finish 9-7, but in all likelihood, missing the playoffs for the second time in as many years. And I want to talk to Peter, the Monday morning quarterback, about the job Steve Keim has done out here and the view there. And Chandler Jones, because Chandler Jones is not getting, in my opinion, and I get it, it's Arizona, they're not playing on national games, people are not seeing the job that he is doing. Chandler Jones is putting up a year where there's no one else that's leading the NFL in sacks, is there? It's right here in Arizona, it's Chandler Jones. Calais got off to a really quick start in Jacksonville, but his numbers have pretty much leveled off. The Jaguars, really good defense. They're just focusing more on Calais. I'm not ripping on him. It's just a fact. So we will talk with Peter King about that. Also, the Tom Savage concussion, the withering hand, the shake out on the field that was very uncomfortable. And what can the league do about it? What can the league say to get someone off the field and make sure that this doesn't happen? What else needs to take place? And, you know, it was a great weekend in the NFL. The football on Sunday was really good. I thought the football last night was pretty compelling. There's this panic in the streets whenever it's Tom Brady and they don't win a game, and it's Miami, it's down there. Patriots didn't look great last night. I watched a good portion of that game. For those of you that have hated on the NFL this year because of the anthems, it's fine. It's your prerogative. It's your priority. But I've seen ratings from the weekend. I've sensed that there's a little bit of interest starting to creep forward where you have games like the Rams and the Eagles. This coming week, you have the Steelers and the Patriots. The Steelers-Ravens game the other night was compelling, was all over the place. Even the Cardinals in a dull field goal fest to some people. To me, there was some interest and intrigue there. I've never been one to just throw dirt on the NFL. I just think they go out of their way to tell everybody how great they are, and I don't get that. And there are some things that aren't good about the league. At the end of the day, that's just how the league has operated in the last several years. And I'm not there day-to-day like I used to be. I was there for when I was with the Chargers. It was a day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year. And it was a grind. And you could even see then there was an air of arrogance about him. So I think there's some good stuff around the Cardinals to get to. If they finish at 8-8, with the Redskins this coming Sunday and the Giants on Christmas Eve, and Seattle, the last game of the year, they're 6-7. If they finish at 8-8, that's pretty remarkable when you consider how they lost their quarterback. They lost their running back. They haven't had an established number two or number three receiver, no matter what people try to tell me. They haven't. I wouldn't say their first round pick has come in here and has lit it up this season. They've had injuries all over the offensive line. They're going to have seven starting offensive lines after Jared Valdir went down with a fractured ankle. So they've had more than their fair share of adversity. They've had poor special teams again. So you go down the list, and yet here they are at 6-7, and some people say that's the problem with the NFL. They reward you for being mediocre. There's really not that many great teams. Yeah, there is something to that. But you have a team like Philadelphia that's been injury-free, and then all of a sudden Carson Wentz is gone, and you have to rely on Nick Foles. You have to have luck in this game. You have to have an awful lot of luck in this game. Dallas looks good one week, and then they don't get Ezekiel Elliott for six. That was his problem. That was his issue, and the league said enough of this. New England last night looked like a team that is saying, just get us to January. You're going to have those off weeks. You're not always going to be on. Doesn't matter how hard Tom Brady's trying to yell at you, get you motivated to get out there and play, and that's what I felt like last night was. You have a team like Pittsburgh that is getting ready for this Sunday night's game against the Patriots. I will watch that. To me, that is compelling. Our opening comments brought to you by the good people at Sagicor now. Look, guys, when it comes to taking care of your family, protect what matters most. That is Sagicor now. Log on to Sagicor now and get the information that you need when it comes to protecting your family with life insurance. Okay, make sure you do that. Don't put it off. Sagicor now. And we appreciate Sagicor and their support in what we do here at Sports360AZ.com. We are self-funded. People like Sagicor say, we believe in what you're doing, Brad. Let's get after it. Yesterday was, and even last night, was a lot of, can you believe what Arizona State is doing in basketball? It kind of speaks to my point here over the last few years of how I'm just beat up, worn out, dead dog tired with ASU not being relevant. It speaks to the years and years of incompetence. It speaks to the years and years. People automatically want to jump on the bandwagon, and it's fine. I've been there all along covering it. I don't jump on bandwagons. It's not the media's fault that ASU's been lousy forever. Yesterday was the first time since 1981 that they had been ranked in the top 10. I mean, think about that. This supposed great university that's got everything together. 1981. I was a junior in high school in 1981. A lot of you weren't born. And so how is it that I think part of the process of enjoying what's going on right now and following what's going on, and to me what makes this such a compelling story is, how did it get to be that in football and basketball, the two main sports, that a university could be so jacked up for so long, for so many years? We automatically want to run to what a great job Bobby Hurley is doing, and there's plenty of room for that. I think we have to look back at all the missteps and all the mistakes and all the poor hiring decisions and all the woe is me and how, oh man, we're this a pro sports town, nobody's going to care about us. And all along I'm hearing this saying, you know, you probably should just move on in your job if that's how you feel. Well, you don't understand. I'm working so hard. That's your job, to work hard. It's your job. I don't need to have somebody explain to me how hard the job is. And so when you have all that stuff that just weighs down, constantly weighs down, and there's excuse making all over the place, and I sit over here and just say, none of this is acceptable. And it goes back to what I wrote last week about in Ray I Trust. You want to rip on Ray Anderson for how he's hired Herm Edwards? Knock yourself out. You don't know. I don't know. But I think I have a pretty good feel for what's going on over there. When Bobby Hurley was hired, it was not universally hailed as the best decision ever. It wasn't viewed as a terrible decision, but it wasn't viewed as, wow, they got Bobby Hurley to come here. No, it was, we got a coach from Buffalo to come here. And so he's brought this level of grit. He's brought this level of intensity. He doesn't give a bleep. He just doesn't. He walks in and it's all about basketball. He doesn't care how many cameras are there to watch him do his thing. Do I think he cares that the facilities are dilapidated? Because they are. With the main place that they're supposed to play. Yeah, I'm sure it does bother him. You're not going to bring recruits in, then it bothers you. I was talking to a longtime Sun Devil, someone with a name that you'd be very familiar with. And this was night before last. And this person was talking about how many years they've gone into the arena, Wells Fargo Arena, and how it just hasn't changed and how has this stale, dumpy feeling about it. All that, I think, is what makes this story so good. But to not talk about it, to not talk about the years of Rob Evans not figuring out how to get the ball into Ike Diagu at the last minute. Yeah, Rob did some very good things. He did. He and his wife did some great things. But they couldn't win. They were just mediocre. I was there doing the games with the point-shaving scandal with Stephen Headache Smith and Isaac Burton and Ron Riley and Marcel Capers. I did those games with the late Tom Dillon. We flew around on planes. We just thought it was a bad basketball team. Then you find out, man, how'd they blow that big lead? How'd they blow a lead, man? And then it comes out, well, they were shaving points. So here's this program that in this great conference, I do believe the Pac-12 is a very, very good, great conference when it comes to basketball. Don't believe me? Go to Vegas. Go to Vegas the second week of the year for the Pac-12 tournament. Just go enjoy yourself for 3 or 4 days. It is easily one of the best sporting events to go cover and to go be a part of. And so now the program has got this buzz going about it. And I don't know if the game against Vanderbilt's going to be sold out this Sunday. I would like to think it would be. The game is on the Pac-12 network. You tell me how many people in Arizona on a Sunday afternoon where it's supposed to be 72 are going to say, you know, I've got to go to a TV set and watch Vanderbilt against Arizona State. Not many. Not a criticism. It's just you've got to change culture and climate. You've got to make this must-see. You cannot be critical of people that don't want to go watch them play it because they're not on the radar. Well, look at all the people who are excited about them. That's very few in the grand scheme of things. To change the marketplace, it's like if the Coyotes beat Tampa Bay on Thursday night, and Tampa Bay is really good and has a great record, it's one win. You have to do years and years. If ASU goes down and beats U of A, it's another brick in the wall. This is a what have you done for me lately community that we are in, unfortunately. I have said for the last 2 years sitting here, I believe much more in what's going on with basketball than I ever have with football the last 2 years. Last 2 years of football was just, guys, nothing's changing here. Oh, well, yeah, we have new uniforms. We have this new locker room. Yeah, all that stuff's fine. It's all window dressing. W's and L's. That's it. Nothing else. Looking the part. Get me to the Michigan State game. I don't care what happens in March at spring football. I don't care what happens in the season opener. Don't care about Camp Tonizona. Don't care. None of that stuff means a darn thing. It may make you feel good because it's your program. So when it comes to Bobby Hurley, it's this Sunday, beat up on Vanderbilt. Next Tuesday, beat up on Longwood. After that, beat up on Pacific. And then December 30th, go to U of A, play U of A. It's like Tim Healy said yesterday on the air perfectly with me. Usually he goes to U of A, and it's 15-2 U of A after the first media timeout, and ASU loses by 30 or 40 or 50 points. Make a statement. And on U of A's side, they're in a great spot. They haven't been good. Everybody's trying to figure out if all the stuff legally that's gone on is impacting their program. They've got DeAndre Ayton, in my opinion, the best player this year in college basketball, the best big man that I would take in a landslide. And here comes ASU that has some nice players up front, but none of them are going to be able to guard DeAndre Ayton one-on-one. None of them. So it's a lot of fun right now. Switch gears next to Peter King, the Monday Morning Quarterback, sports360az.com, and then Pedro Gomez from the winter baseball meetings. We'll have Pedro with us at 10:35 on the Diamondbacks, J.D. Martinez, trying to ship Greinke, get rid of Tomas and all the stuff from the winter meetings, Otani and Stanton, and a lot to get to with Pedro. That's in about 15 minutes. Stay with us. And now Peter King is with us, the Monday Morning Quarterback. Great content, mmqb.com, day in and day out. And then the MMQB podcast with Peter King. It is must listening around the National Football League. Present day, historical side, Peter covers all of it. I want to start with Steve Keim today, Peter. So Bruce Arians, it's vacillating back and forth that he's going to retire 1 week, and the next week it's, well, Michael Bidwell would like to keep him here, and I that's going to sort itself out, obviously. And I think today, if you're to ask me out here, it's he's going to stay. You may know different. But in the terms of Steve Keim, Hassan Reddick's not done much, first-round pick this year. Robert Kimdiche last year, he's still on scholarship out here. DJ Humphreys, he's been hurt. I've been defending Steve Keim because I think he's a really smart, sharp football guy. Guys miss on first-round picks. I want to start the conversation with you, Peter, on Steve Keim and the job you think he's doing out here in Arizona.
You know, I think a year ago you could have lined up the talent on the Arizona Cardinals against any team in football, healthy. And it just it has not worked out for a year and a half, basically. And I think part of that is the health at the quarterback position, clearly this year with Carson Palmer. You know, we've talked about it before. I would bring Palmer back for one more year while they got a quarterback ready for 2019 and beyond. But I think the one thing you have to look at with a football team, and I've always believed this, is you have to be willing to go through some tough times. And by that, I mean, you know, I think these, relatively speaking, are tough times, but they're not horrendous times. As mm-hmm. you saw by last Sunday, they beat a team that's probably going to make the playoffs at home with a backup quarterback and maybe the number three quarterback. So that's why when you do that, hope is not lost. You're not miles away. And in my opinion, I trust Steve Keim's talent judgment a lot. And I just think, just like Ted Thompson in Green Bay, you know, the depth of his roster, particularly on defense, is not very good. Mm-hmm. But I do think that you have to have a trust factor with the guy who picks your players. Once you don't anymore, you ought to get rid of them. But I don't sense that there's any diminution of that trust factor in Steve Keim.
And I don't think there should be either. You know, Chandler Jones is not getting a whole lot of attention, and he's leading the National Football League in sacks.
But he should.
Yeah, he should. I mean, Peter, Calais Campbell killed it early in the season, and he's kind of leveled off. It's not a slight towards Calais. It's just the sacks aren't rolling up. DeMarcus Lawrence, Everson Griffin, but Chandler Jones leading the NFL in sacks. And you go revisit that deal that Steve pulled off. Jonathan Cooper goes to New England. He's now down in Dallas. And yeah, there are picks involved, but I look at that and say, this has turned out to be a pretty darn good deal for Arizona.
You know, the Cardinals media relations staff had a great note. I stole it. I told Mark Dalton. And what a fantastic note. And I Dalton and his guys do a fantastic job. I mean, really giving you stuff that you can use, mm-hmm. not just stuff, hey, we're wonderful out here. But he had this great note. They had this great note. I think Chris Melvin or one of his guys does this. And this was so cool, and I hadn't even thought about it, but since Chandler Jones has come on their team, he's got more sacks and more tackles for loss than anybody in the NFL. Mm. Now, if that isn't a smart move by a general manager, I don't know what is, especially when you talk about trading him in part for a guy who kind of had turned into a throwaway item.
Well, and to that point, I think you can go up and down any NFL roster. You mentioned Ted Thompson, and some of the criticism directed towards Steve, I think, is just ill-founded. I wanted to get your thoughts on that front. The NFL big picture, the Tom Savage concussion should have been pulled off the field, the withering of the hand movement and all that. What can be done here? It feels like every week I'm talking to you about what can be done on some subject. What about this one?
You know, I think that... We have a writer on our staff named Jacob Feldman. He's a young guy, and he does this thing for us called the Morning Huddle. And yesterday, you know, we were talking about this, and many times he'll do it. It'll be game related. It'll be just, here's what you need to know today mm-hmm. in the NFL. So I talked to him yesterday. I said, you have to write Tuesday about what exactly the rules are on the sidelines with the medical personnel for a team and this unaffiliated neurological consultant for every team in the league, that every sideline, rather, has at every game. What do they do? What's their job? And how did they fail, in this particular case, Tom Savage and the Houston Texans? So he did this morning, and he explained how that either the UNC, this unaffiliated neurological consultant, or the team doctor for a team, both of those guys can take a guy off the field. Either of those guys can take him off the field. Neither of them can prevent him from returning to the game. Mm. And I think what happened here is that he passed the original, basically, you know, like there's an on-field test. You have to answer a bunch of questions. They have to look into your eye. They have to do this. So he did that. He passed that. And then when he came back off after one series, he looked woozy. And Feldman, I think, made a really, really good point that I hadn't thought of. If, for instance, you have one of these situations where you have to take a guy off the field to examine him, you have to go through, you have to do everything with him. you may just say, hey, listen, you're out for a quarter. You know, you're out for the next 15 minutes of play while we fully examine you. And I know a bunch of people would be furious at that because it could be a huge factor in a game. But with the NFL's emphasis right now on the importance of diagnosing head trauma and concussions, that might be the best idea of all. Force them to come off the field for 15 minutes on the clock so you can be absolutely sure that the guy doesn't have a concussion.
Why can't a referee just walk up to him and say, get out of here?
He can't. He can't. And it has happened. The referee can call in the medical personnel and say, hey, this guy needs to go to the sidelines. If you remember, the Russell Wilson game earlier in this year, the ref sent Wilson off.
That's right. That's right. You're right.
And he sent him off. And then he basically kind of broke through this protocol. And he said, forget it. I'm going back on the field. And he did. And when he came back on the field, the ref just thought, okay, he's been examined and he's okay. But that is why there needs to be some time taken. There needs to be a timeout, you know, for whoever comes off the field. And to me, I mean, it happened with Alvin Kamara of the Saints last Thursday, where he had to come off the field, rightfully so, and it was a very intelligent move. He came off the field. He never returned. And that is a situation where the Saints did the right thing. The unaffiliated neurological consultant did the right thing. They took their time and looked at this guy and they said, hey, this guy is not going to go back to play today.
I just wish what a referee on the field in the game looked at Savage and saw what he was doing, because they're the closest ones to him, and said, no, let's just stop this. But that's,
yeah,
you can't go that far. Before you get out of here, Washington, Arizona this week. I know it's not a marquee game, two teams going nowhere this year. But if the Cardinals win against the Redskins, the Giants, they have the Seahawks left, they could be 8-8 in an injury-ravaged season. What do you make out of this matchup and the Redskins?
I keep looking at Washington, and, you know, there are some teams that you watch and you say, something just isn't right here. There have been times where I've looked at Washington this year and thought, they're a top five or six team in this league. They're explosive on offense, and they have some dangerous rush guys on defense. And when they play well in the secondary, it's a good secondary. I don't really know what's wrong there, Brad. I think it's a really interesting question, and I haven't thought to this point at all that Jay Gruden's going to be in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
But if they pull many more no-shows like they did in San Diego last week and then like they did the previous week, I would not put it past Dan Snyder to make a coaching change. And, you know, Washington's a very, very fluid situation right now. So I think this is a very important game for Jay Gruden because he's got to show that he still has the ability to have the pulse of this team and to make this team play hard.
Peter, have a great week. Appreciate the insight and time as always. Thanks.
Thanks very much, Brad.
Always good to catch up with Peter King, the Monday morning quarterback, via Skype from his home in New York City. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sussmat. And now it's time to head out to the winter baseball meetings, because so much attention on Ohtani and Stanton, but I care about is Greinke. Are Greinke and Tomas going to be traded to get him out of here to re-sign J.D. Martinez, or is this stuff over with and the Diamondbacks have moved on? To answer all, it is Pedro Gomez, who you will see on Outside the Lines in about 11 minutes. So I've got about 8 minutes with you, I think, which is fair to say. Where are you right now?
Actually, I'm in the Dolphin and Swan Hotel here in Orlando, but it's actually in 23 minutes that I'll be on.
Oh, 23
it's
minutes.
At the top of the hour.
Oh.
But I have to be in the chair beforehand.
Makeup, everybody taking care of you. I got it.
Oh, yeah.
All right. So listen to you. Hardly at all. Okay, so J.D. Martinez, as we're sitting here right now, your feeling on J.D. Martinez returning to the Diamondbacks, if you had to put a percentage, what would the percentage be?
Between 1% and 2%. And that would be maybe a little high.
Wow.
Because the reality is that if your payroll is going to be about $115 million and you've got $48.5 million of it eaten up by two players, there's just not room to add a JT Martinez. There's just no way. And this was always, you know, the kind of the issue when they signed Zach Greinke to that deal. I mean, there's 4 years left, and it's 34, 34 and a half, 35, and 35 for the next 4 years. So, look, if you did try to trade Zach Greinke, you would have to still be paying between 15 and 20 million of that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's dead money. So, you know, at that point, you say, okay, if we're paying, let's say, 20, and there's 14 that the other club is going to be paying, is he a $14 million pitcher? Yes, of course he is. So at that point, you have to say to yourself, okay, for an extra 14, we have to keep him. Mm. And that's kind of where they're stuck right now. It's a difficult, difficult spot. You know, the Yasmani Tomas contract is $13.5 million this coming year. And it escalates the following 2 years. There's still two more years left.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, a contract that's going to be very, very difficult to move, if not impossible. So they are, you know, you cannot, we've talked about this, Brad, that people have told me, people a lot smarter than I do that run these type of organizations, you can never tie up one third of your money with one player. It just leaves you no flexibility. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of where the Diamondbacks are right now, that they just don't have the flexibility to go out and do something really creative. And that's, you know, that's a byproduct of these two contracts, basically.
Pedro Gomez from the winter baseball meetings in Orlando, where the Diamondbacks are stuck. Is that the best way to put it?
I believe they are. Look, they caught lightning in a bottle this past season. They had a really good season. They had a lot of players have excellent seasons. And, you know, they won 93 games. They made the postseason. But you've got a lot of young players that are going to start to escalate in money mm-hmm. over the course of the next few years. People like a Jake Lamb, let's say. You know, the money is going to start to have to jump up for guys like that if you want to keep them. And that's, again, where you fall into an issue of trying to add now, because you can't, if you are stuck at $115 million, then you're basically already done. There's very little that you can do. You might be able to get a $5 to $10 million a year type player, but that's about it. And JD Martinez is not a $5 to $10 million a year player right now. So, you know, he moved himself up to a high stratosphere, and he's just not going to be in the Diamondbacks' plans as much as they would love for that to happen without them going to about $150 million a year. And, Brad, they're just not going to do that because they'd be losing well over $50 million a year in revenues each year.
Okay, so as I'm hearing you and I'm doing the numbers in my head, so Greinke is about $20 million a year of dead money, which 4 years left, that's $80 million. Tomas has got three.
That's if you tried to trade
him. If you tried to trade him. Okay, so that's $80 million that if you were to write a check and say, we will write a check for $80 million to make sure that we get him out of here. My understanding is they have wanted desperately to get him out of here for many reasons. And what we saw on the field in the postseason is at the top of the list. It's just not worth that financial investment. So, and then the Tomas deal, you're telling me three more years at 15, so that's another $45 million. So we're talking about $125 million to get out of jail, essentially. And no one's going to come along for those two players unless, Pedro, tell me if I'm wrong on this, if the Diamondbacks got creative and found teams that were willing to part with very good players, such as Miami, with what's going on, could they conceivably find a way to get Greinke and Tomas out of here if Ken Kendrick did open the checkbook and get out of jail now?
Not with Miami. Miami is looking to, we've already seen it, Dee Gordon, Giancarlo Stanton, they are going the opposite way when it comes to payroll. So they're not going to take on, even if it is, say, $15 million a year for Zach Greinke, they're just not going to do that. They're not in a position to try to contend in
but
2018 or probably 2019.
But
either.
My point is, could they become a three-way group where there are assets in Miami where Greinke can go to the third team? Not Miami, but Miami's looking to dump salary. Get a third team involved in this deal. That seems to be the only way to get out of this. is have a bunch of moving parts between three teams. Am I wrong on that?
The issue is that Greinke's, I think you're wrong in the sense that Greinke's money is just too big of an obstacle to try to do that. And look, I've talked to scouts, to front office executives who told me Greinke is just not worth that kind of money. And actually, I looked it up. So he won 17 games last year, Brad. Had a very, very good season. But of those 17 wins, only six were against winning clubs. So, I mean, you just do the math. The other 11 wins were, you know, beating up on the Padres, the Giants, the Mets, teams that were not very good. I remember watching the wild card game, and I had a former Major League GM tell me, I don't see an out pitch. There's not a pitch that he can get an out, you know, a strikeout on. And I think he only had two swings and misses during his 4 1/3 innings against the Rockies in the wild card game. Yeah. Two swing and misses. Yeah. So it's look, if he was overpowering, first of all, if he was overpowering, I don't think you'd want to get rid of him. But he's not. And that makes it difficult for another team to say, that's the guy we want, unless that other team is only going to have to pay, say, $12 million or so, $14-15 million of it. And that's highly, highly unlikely.
Okay, anything else about the Diamondbacks before I move over to Ohtani? We got about 3 minutes left. The Ohtani Stanton stuff and the earth shaking. Is anything around the Diamondbacks you're hearing down there?
They're on the margins is what they are. They're just kind of seeing what they can pick up off of the margins. I would highly, highly find it surprising if they were to do anything that is going to blow, you know, your mind. Mm-hmm. So I what happened a few years ago with Greinke, that's not going to happen. And Yasmani Tomas, because of the injuries, nobody is going to trade for him, even if the Diamondbacks ate 3/4 of the money. He's got to prove that he can play again. Mm-hmm. So it's they're going to have to hope that they somehow catch lightning in a bottle again.
Bigger story to you, Ohtani or Stanton?
Probably Stanton, because Ohtani is still an unknown. Stanton is a known. And, the Yankees kind of returning to their late 1990s throughout the first decade of this century where George Steinbrenner wouldn't care what they were paying in luxury tax. And it seems like the Yankees have kind of returned to that stratosphere again. And we know that they won a bunch of World Series when they were not caring about the bottom line. So that's always a threat to the rest of the game, so to speak, that if they just open up their checkbook, their checkbook is bigger than everybody else's.
Mm. And in Ohtani's case, Pedro, are you expecting him to pitch twice a week and DH once, twice a week? What do you think the breakdown's going to be on Ohtani? Because he's a better pitcher.
You know what? The thing is that Japan treats the pitching a lot like college baseball, where you pitch once a week. Mm. If you're a starter, you're the Friday night starter. And that's how Japan treats its pitching. So really what I'm hearing is that the Angels are kind of kicking the idea of going to a six-man rotation, because there is usually about a one day off a week, and trying to fit into that style of thinking rather than having Ohtani fit into the U.S. or the Major League version of, you know, every 5 days you get out there. So that's going to be interesting to see which way the Angels go with this.
That's good stuff. I'll let you go off that. What color tie do you have on? What do you, are you,
dapping? It's a nice brown.
Nice brown.
And
okay.
A nice suit.
Pedro Gomez in a nice tie and a nice suit, brown tie and suit, in about 12 minutes over on ESPN. Thanks for the time down at the winter meetings, Pedro. Thanks.
Okay, man. Take care.
See ya. It's Pedro Gomez. No, you have to have the tie. The goofiest thing about TV that on a day-by-day working in a TV newsroom that I found was you could do the greatest story in the world. Greatest story in the world. You could have the greatest interview in the world. But then you go back to your desk and you get the phone call after phone call of that tie just did not work. Or where did you get that tie? Or what a beautiful shirt that was. And you're like, excuse me, but you know, I spent all day working on this story, and it was a nice story, and And of course, there are days where you dress like a slob and it's, wow, you look great on the air tonight. Like, really? Seriously? What are your colors? What's your makeup tone? All that nonsense. All right. We will, we'll step aside here. There's a cool story involving gadgets and athletes and Christmas on the other side that I'm going to get to after this time out. So there's gadgets that are out there. We are a couple weeks away from Christmas, and happy Hanukkah to you and yours too. Here's the thing on gadgets and sports. Eric, are you you're not much of a gadget guy, or are you a gadget guy?
Not particularly, no.
Jared Nielsen, you're a gadget guy. I'm going to get a thumbs up, I'm sure, on that. Yeah.
Fidget spinner? Is that considered a gadget?
Fidget spinner.
No,
did you
not.
See that? I saw the New York Times had this monkey that you put on fingers. Finger monkeys are the big thing this year.
Not for me, it's not.
$35 for a monkey to put
sounds
on a finger.
It's like a bargain.
What a deal, what a bargain, like fidget spinners. So LeBron has gotten into this, and Nike has gotten into this. Nike unveiled their connected NBA jersey with a radio frequency chip embedded in the tag. So now you can have exclusive content and experiences that vary by the jersey. So you get the jersey, right? So LeBron James's playlist is able to be downloaded by Apple Music users on Nike Connect's app. So you can get a LeBron jersey that has the Nike Connect to it. And you can download his playlist. So Nike and Apple went to James to design his own playlist dubbed Unbreakable to help promote the new feature. His choice of songs is on here. And it's got Drake, it's got 2 Chainz, it's got Chris Brown, it's got Big Sean and Metro Boomin. You know, stuff I'm into when I'm driving here to work every day, of course. Quality Control and Migos, Big Sean, Fabulous, and Jadakiss. So all this is there. There's like 20 songs that if I'm going to go shopping for my seventh grader, and if he were a LeBron James fan, he still hasn't quite figured it out. He'll watch LeBron. He likes LeBron. He'll watch Kevin Durant. He hasn't decided if he likes Kevin. He'll watch Steph Curry. Name any player that a 13-year-old boy is watching. You guys know this when you're about that age. It's when you start grabbing on and saying, this is the guy that I really want. Well, now you can go get the jersey. But more importantly, you can download what the guy listens to. Now, what I want to know on this, nowhere in this story, it's a tech site I go to called Sports Techie. Nowhere on Sports Techie does it list the cost. But think about this.
And what if his playlist changes? Then you have an outdated playlist.
What if he just threw a bunch of songs up that his crew, because I doubt.
That could be the case.
That his guys say, look, these are the most popular songs on YouTube. And think of the dollars. He could go to those performers, those musicians, and say, I am going to put you on my playlist for my jersey so everybody can download you. You got to write me a check. You got to write me a big fat check. And then on Christmas morning, you run downstairs and you rip open the package, and it's said jersey. It's said player's jersey. And said player is like, I'm kind of a washed up this or that. I can make dough. I can make bank off of music. I can't play dead anymore out on the court, but I can make music. I love that. Is there a player that I'd want to have his playlist on? What if you went old school? What if you said, you know what? I want Magic Johnson's jersey and what he's listening to now. So this is a pretty innovative. I'd like to see the number of jerseys sold with the playlist and the Kinect. Forget about Call of Duty. Forget about that and getting an extra remote. Or forget about Star Wars coming out this weekend. I'm going to get the jersey and connect the playlist of my guy. And my guy may say, these songs blow, but they're writing me a check. I may never listen to these songs. I love that. Do you see the story about Sean Marion and Cedric Sabalas, Eric?
I did not.
Sean Marion and
two great sons in their own right.
Sean Marion and Cedric Sabalas are going to be on Amazing Race. Do you watch Amazing Race?
Didn't even know that show was still on, to be honest with you.
Could you imagine? Because like Matrix Tricks, his knees were kind of beat up towards the end, if I remember right.
He did play 82 seasons, NBA seasons.
95 seasons, something.
Long time.
He's around forever.
Made a lot of money. Good for him.
CeCe, I could see Cedric Ceballos. You guys know I hate nicknames, right? Especially when it's present day. If it's present day and we're in the business, if I see guys refer to them as nicknames, it's you're just trying to get in their phone so you can get them on your show. We have to be objective here. When they are out of the league, Tricks, which is a cool nickname, and CeCe. CeCe is kind of bounced around. He was doing the arena announcing thing. But for these guys to go on Amazing Race, now I kind of want to see this. I would like to think when it comes to jumping, Sean Marion could jump. Sean Marion was like a Gumby. There's no other way to put it with his body. And Cedric was kind of like that. But Cedric's older. Cedric's got to be what? 6, 7, 8 years older than Matrix. And Sean took care of himself. And Cedric did too. But I got to believe here, this is Amazing Race 30. And they got to get some reason to have people watch. And now they're turning to former NBA players. I want to see Elliot Perry. You know, come up with all these great Suns and just have some Suns programming. Do like the Amazing Race Phoenix. Don't even put the games on. Suns lost again. Here's the score, but here's the Amazing Race. They probably get more people watching. Fact. What do we have tonight? Tonight we have the Suns at Sacramento.
And you had a good guess. Cedric Ceballos is 48. Sean Marion is 39.
I'm close on that one. Yeah, I kind of got that. We've got Suns-Sacramento tonight. Coyotes aren't playing tonight. I haven't seen if there's any good national college basketball to check out tonight. With ASU playing as well as they are, now I'm starting to watch more. I watched BC and Duke in the middle of the day the other day. I just loved it.
Good game.
No, it was. It was great. Jared Nielsen is our chairman of the board. He is the Iron Man. He comes in every day through thin and thinner. When I write the book, Jared Nielsen's thin and thinner journey will have to be like a couple of chapters or pages or I don't know. And Eric Sorensen, as always, Senior Executive Vice President of Everything. Jordan Hamm assists as well. Congratulations to Haley on her graduation. And we're turning this now over to work on our TV show. So this show repeats, by the way, hour after hour after hour. If you miss Peter King, if you miss Pedro Gomez, you miss some good stuff today. And it's going to repeat hour after hour. We appreciate our partners, our sponsors. Without them, we don't do this. Have yourself a great Tuesday. Thanks for checking out this podcast on Sports360AZ.com, brought to you by your Valley Hyundai dealers.